Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be here with you on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. Also, we will have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics and frontier activities and history. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska, or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Before launching into the contest, which we generally have at the beginning of the show, I'd like to bring to your attention one of my brand new sponsors on Alaska Gold Trails, and that's Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank. And for all those out there who join us in our contest activities at the beginning of each show on Alaska Gold Trails, I'd like to give you the who they are, where they are, and what they do. And of course, Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank is located downtown at 530 4th Avenue, and they have entrances on both 3rd and 4th Avenues. Their phone number is 452-1752. And you might want to write all that information down in case it becomes a contest question in the future. In addition to that, today I want to make a few comments about Mount McKinley and their services. One of Mount McKinley's most innovative and beneficial services is their Prime Time account. This account is for people who have passed their 55th birthday and offers numerous free services. For instance, no service charges and no minimum balance in your checking account. Plus, your first 200 checks are free. But there's more. Your Prime Time checking account will earn interest at 5.25% annum compounded daily for an effective annual yield of 5.47%. With a Prime Time checking account, fees are waived for traveler's checks, money orders, and money wire transfers. And Prime Time customers also get free notary service. Direct deposits are also available free. That is one of the major comments that I wanted to make about Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank today. But there's one other that I wanted to comment on just briefly before giving you the basics on Mount McKinley once again. And I want to draw your attention to the ads that have currently been running in the News Miner, and the ad centers around the possibility of having a dream house, and we recognize that perhaps the economic climate isn't right now for building, but sometimes people can't find exactly the house that they want in the Fairbanks area, and it isn't out of the question to gain financing from Mount McKinley Bank to build that dream house that you might wish. And this advertisement that is in the paper is kind of a cute advertisement with a bunch of workers constructing a potential dream house. So if you need money for construction purposes, Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank can help you build that dream home with a construction loan. So once again, folks, we want to make certain that you understand who they are, where they are, and what they do. And they are Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank. And once again, they're located at 530 4th Avenue with entrances on both 3rd and 4th Avenues. Their phone number, 452-1751. Go down, say hello, or give them a call and tell them how much you appreciate them sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails. And now let's do contest time. What sponsor shall we talk about today? Let me ask you this question. Who is advertising on the back of the Fairbanks telephone directory? And I want to know who they are, where they are, and what they do. Our phone number here is Let's see. Their phone number there is 452-3063. So once you find that information out, give us a call here. Our phone number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And with that in mind, let's see what we got here. All right, you're on the air.
All right, how are you doing?
Fine.
How about B&L Pawn Shop?
B&L Pawn Shop. Well, you got the who they are, right? How about the other two parts?
They loan, buy, sell, trade, and deal. And they're located at 605 Gaffney on the corner of Cushman and Gaffney.
And can you tell us a little bit more about what they do?
They're a pawn shop. They can also grub stake you, I guess, and sell stuff on commission. They do cameras, stereos, gold, TV, videos, jewelry, tools, guitars, guns, and car stereos.
Well, you're kind of hitting it all of the highlights. Tell me one thing. Do you know Killer?
No, I don't. Never been down there yet.
You haven't? Well, you ought to go down there and meet Killer. And you know that Killer will sweeten the deal if you tell her that you heard about B&L Pawn Shop on Alaska Gold Trail.
Yep.
Yeah, well, okay, go down there. And tell them you heard about them. And in addition to that, I think that I'm going to have your name because you just won a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining.
Great. My name is Fred.
Fred?
Yeah.
You got a last initial, Fred.
R.
R, okay. Real good. Fred, you stop up here at Washington Plaza, pick up this certificate, then zoom over there to Oxford Assaying and Refining located...
208 Wendell.
Oh, thanks for giving me that number. I always get it mixed up. Have you listened to this show before, Fred?
Yeah.
Oh, I follow that street number up every time. Thanks for the help there. And, of course, you know over there at Oxford Assaying Refining, they're known as your precious metals people. And you ask Ray or Dee over there for information, and they'll give it to you regarding precious metals. And you'll get an opportunity while you're over there to take a look at their nice display of not only gold nuggets and coins and things, but also their jewelry display that they now have available. So, Fred, stop up here and pick up your certificate, and thank you very much for playing.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye.
This is big, really big. Lamont's June sale is the biggest sale of the season. Save now on Father's Day gifts and fashion for the entire family. Lamont's has your favorite brand names at incredible sale prices, plus everything Dad needs, from casual to dressy styles at our big June sale. Dress Dad in his favorites, from Arrow, Van Heusen, Bass, Dockers, Swank, Munsingwear, Graham and Lockwood, Hager and Bugle Boy. For just $9.99, get Dad a short-sleeve Van Heusen dress shirt, and really dress him up with a $12.99 real silk tie from Graham and Lockwood. Bugle Boy casual styles are perfect for Dad at $19.99 each for pants and tops. Plus, sign up to win Lamont's trip for two to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, courtesy of Mexicana Airlines and Sheraton Resorts. So, with Dad's big day just around the corner, you need to get to Lamont's June sale, our biggest sale of the season. You'll find some great gifts for Dad, and with all you save, you'll have money left over to get yourself something special.
Father's Day is this Sunday. Lamont's biggest sale of the season is on now.
Folks, as I told you earlier today, my guest is Ed Ashby, and Ed, welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Ed, give us some background. Where were you born, and what year were you born? Oh, maybe I shouldn't ask that. Well, go ahead. You can answer all those questions, I'm sure. If you don't know the answer, Ed, nobody does. Tell us a little bit about how you were raised and the environment you were raised in.
Well, I was born a few years ago in 1919 in South Carolina. And I was born on a farm. I was raised on the farm, a small farm. We raised tobacco and cotton, corn, and potatoes. And I went to high school there. And I got in the notion of coming to Alaska 2 years before I finished high school. I was in Washington visiting a cousin, and we were listening to the radio when they made the announcement of Will Rogers and Wiley Post accident at Barrow. And we got talking about Alaska, and we decided we'd like to come to Alaska when we finished high school. So I went back to South Carolina. My cousin stayed in Washington, and we corresponded back and forth for 2 years, making plans to come to Alaska. And 2 weeks after I finished high school, I left South Carolina and went to Washington and met my cousin. And we decided the best way to get to Alaska would be to join the Merchant Marines. So we went to Baltimore and joined the Merchant Marines. And we went down, looked around for a ship, and finally we found a banana boat going to Cuba. So we signed on that banana boat as deckhands. And we went down to Cuba, got a load of bananas and spiders.
What did you do on the boat? What did you do? What was your job?
Well, I was a deckhand. My cousin was too. And we would scrub the decks and paint. And then we'd take shifts on the bow as lookouts. And then we'd take shifts on the helm at times. And we'd work 4 hours on and 8 hours off. And this one trip was all we made on that banana boat. It took a couple of weeks. And then we got off. We thought we'd get a ride immediately to Alaska. But it didn't work out that way. We got separated. And I made a couple of trips to Europe. Went to France and Germany, and my cousin made a couple of trips to the West Coast. And finally, I got a boat going to the West Coast, an oil tanker. My cousin was in dry dock in Seattle. So I worked around, went through the canal, and finally I got up with my cousin in Seattle.
And wait a minute, you got through the canal. Finally you got to your cousin in Seattle. Did you get to your cousin in Seattle on that boat, on that oil tanker, or where did it go?
Well, that's a little story there. I went as far as Portland, and I didn't get a letter from my cousin, so I went back to San Pedro on this oil tanker, and I got a letter from my cousin.
Is that San Pedro in Southern California?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's outside of San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So I got off the boat there, and I decided to get a freight train coming north to meet my cousin in Seattle. So the tracks had been washed out, and there'd been a lot of rain and flood down there. This was in the spring of 38. So I didn't make too good a time on the freight train. So I got off in San Luis Obispo.
You didn't make very good time, did you?
No. No, I got off before I got to San Luis Obispo. But then I caught a ride on the highway and went to San Luis Obispo and decided to catch another freight. That was the wrong thing to do.
Go ahead.
The railroad Dick got me at the railroad station, and he decided that I'd better take a bus on and not catch the freight train. So he took me and put me on a bus. I had to pay for the ticket, of course.
Oh, of course.
And I went on the bus as far as Portland. And then I got off, and I got on the highway and hitchhiked another ride and got on into Seattle.
And you met your cousin then?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's where I met him.
Okay. And then how did you come to Alaska?
Well, we decided the best way to get to Alaska from Seattle would be to buy a little boat and run it up. So we went down on Lake Union and found this little boat, 24-foot boat for $125. It had an old 1926 Dodge motor in it, four-cylinder. So we worked with that and got it going right, and we built a little deck on the back of the boat and a little pilot house. And then we got some supplies in and took off. We had one key chart showing all the way from Seattle to Ketchikan.
What time of year was it that you took off?
Well, this was the spring.
It was the spring, still the spring of 1938.
Yes.
Uh-huh. 24-foot boat, little cabin. You had grub, you had fuel. It was gasoline.
Yes.
Gasoline, was it?
Of a certain amount. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And just a minute here, Ed. Let's see if we got a call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? They gave up. So, Ed, tell us about your adventure. Where were you heading first?
Well, we were heading for Ketchikan.
Was that nonstop, or did you have some stops planned along?
Oh, we had quite a few stops.
I see.
It took us 29 days to make that trip.
It wasn't a real quick trip then.
No, no.
Where did you stop along the way?
Well, I couldn't pinpoint the places we did stop because of this chart. But anyway, we got lost, and we ran low on grub, and we gave out of gas. But we finally made it.
Well, you ran low on grub.
Well, we sort of picked up a bit of food on the way, catching fish, and we'd shoot crows, shot several crows and ate them.
How'd you catch the fish?
Well, we'd put a line out at night, and in the morning, invariably, we'd have a nice fish on it.
Oh, I'll be darned. And what else did you do?
We ran into a good clam bed.
Mm-hmm.
That was on Vancouver Island, I think. And we stocked up on those and lasted.
So you hunted and you fished, and you just killed crows? Is that it? You ate all crows and fish and clams?
Well, my cousin got one deer.
Oh, I see.
And, of course, we weren't supposed to do that, but we were pretty hungry at that time.
And tell her, you ran out of gas. Where'd you run out of gas?
We ran low on gas just as we got across Dixon's Entrance. And we went ashore at a little lighthouse called Mary Island Lighthouse. And they said they had a little gas there that was for that purpose, and so they gave us 5 gallons of gas. And that got us into Ketchikan.
Okay, that was probably, what, around end of May?
I would say it was in May sometimes.
Uh-huh. So you got into Ketchikan. You were lucky, weren't you?
We were real lucky. We had some narrow escapes. Oh, one real narrow escape was when we were crossing Queen Charlotte Sound. My cousin was asleep, and I was steering the boat, and I saw a commotion up ahead, and I kept watching it. And I thought I'd get a little closer to it, see what was going on. And I saw this log. All of a sudden, it started going around in circles. And pretty soon, it got smaller and smaller circles. And then all of a sudden, the log, it was a log bigger than the boat. It just turned up and went right straight down. And I figured that we better get out of there. So
a whirlpool.
It was a whirlpool.
Uh-huh.
I'd heard about them, but I never had seen one. And I was uncomfortably close to that.
I'll say.
And going across Dixon Entrance, why, we ran into a blow. And we were having a little trouble with water getting in the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost got swamped at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But we made it.
My goodness, sounds like an adventure. You were out for an adventure anyway, weren't you? Young and spirited?
Well, two kids that didn't know all that much about boats or anything else. Yeah, we did real well to get to Ketchikan.
When we come back, Ed, I want to talk a little bit about what you did in Ketchikan in southeastern Alaska, all right?
Okay.
And there's a couple of announcements that we'd like to make right here.
Oil spill has not affected areas normally visited by tourists. Don't let the news keep you away. Have fun in Prince William Sound this summer. Get the facts. Let the tourist hotline help you plan your trip. Call toll-free 1-800-874-2748.
I'd like to take a minute to let all my friends here in the interior of Alaska know about the Days Inn Motel in Anchorage, Alaska. Whether you're traveling for business or pleasure, Days Inn Anchorage, you can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and affordable rates. Some of the conveniences that you will expect to find at the Days Inn include an airport limousine, airport courtesy telephone, a 24-hour restaurant, free local calls, and get this, an exercise facility, and of course, a lounge. Now, Days Inn is located, centrally located, at 321 East 5th Avenue. That's 5th and Cordova in Anchorage, Alaska. For reservations, you need but to call their toll-free number at 1-800-325-2525. Once again, their toll-free number is 1-800-325-2525. And tell them you heard about them from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails right here on KFAR Radio. Folks, I also want to give you some information regarding one of the sponsors of Alaska Gold Trails here, and that is Tip Top Chevrolet Buick. And Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years. It has been owned and operated by three generations of Ginthers. And as many of you may know, Robbie Ginther is the general sales or the general manager today. And I also noted that Robbie Ginther has a couple of new TV ads that you can see on television now. And I think they're based on Raiders of the Lost Ark. If you haven't seen that movie, you have missed something. So if you're watching TV, pay particular attention to Tip Top Chevrolet Buick's television advertising that's going on at the moment. I'd like to also point out one of the television ads that I was particularly interested in is when Robbie said something like this. He says, "You've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history, and it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system, and Instatrack shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1980 new full-size Chevy pickup. It's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look. And don't forget, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet." Once again, folks, Tip Top Chevrolet, they're located at 1916 South Cushman. Their phone number is 452-8211, and tell them you heard about them on Alaska Gold Trails. Ed, we were talking about your travels to southeastern Alaska, up to Ketchikan, and you arrived in Ketchikan probably at the end of May, you were saying. And what did you do when you arrived at Ketchikan?
Well, we looked the place over a little bit, and the first job I got there was helping to unload a fish packer. An old salt there, old captain, Jim Lou was his name. He talked me into going over to the west coast of Prince of Wales Island. So my cousin and I took our little boat and ran it around the north end of the island and down to Craig. And I stayed in Craig for four seasons. And during that time, I took the little boat that we had fishing the first year, and I didn't do all that much, but I paid expenses, but finally I had to go to work for a cannery, and they put me out on a floating fish trap. I think they're outlawed now, but these traps are anchored off of the points down there of the islands that where the fish run, and they caught a lot of fish in those traps, and we'd stay out there for the full season. There were two of us on the trap, and we had quite a time just floating out there. We had to sit the storms out and everything right on those traps.
Was that an exciting job, or was it boring, or tell us about the...
Well, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the fish would come in, and they would get caught. The nets would funnel them into areas where they would be held until the boats came to take them to the cannery.
Mm-hmm. Did you use your own boat, $125 job you had, huh? The 24-foot.
Yeah, I trolled with it.
Uh huh.
For a while that first year.
And did you do the same thing all 4 years? Or
no, I went seining, press seining, for 1 year, and then I worked on the traps for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I enjoyed all of that, but I didn't make any big money that way.
So you were in Craig. What kind of was Craig a village or a cannery, or what was Craig at that time?
Well, there were a couple of canneries there, and it had about a population of about half native and half imports, and it was a nice little town. Yeah, I guess they had about 350, 400 people there. So the mail boat would come in twice a week and bring the mail, and that would be about our only contact, except a float plane would, Bob Ellis would fly in there every once in a while bringing passengers, and he'd bring some mail too.
And he was out of Ketchikan?
He was flying out of Ketchikan at that
time.
He
still flies out of Ketchikan, or at least his business is still called Ellis Flying Service out of Ketchikan.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's a big service now. I think he started out with that one little float plane.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, what happened following that period of time when you were in Craig? You say you fished for 4 years. Then what did you do?
Well, in the winter, I did different things. One winter I went trapping for a little while. I didn't know anything about trapping, but it was fun.
What kind of trapping? Did some special fur? Or?
Well, I caught one mink and one otter. This was a land otter, not a sea otter.
Uh-huh.
But it was fun.
That was the extent of your trapping career?
Well, yeah. I didn't trap too long.
Uh-huh. And then where did you go from there, Ed?
Well, when the war came along, in 41, that was my last year up there.
Uh-huh.
I went outside, and I got involved with an airplane mechanic school, and then I went in the service. And when I got out, I had to stick around for a while. But in 1947, I was all ready to come back to Alaska. So I got a hold of an old Army ambulance, and I rigged it up for the trip. So I took off and came back to Alaska, and I came to Fairbanks at that time. And I got Fairbanks in May of 1947.
Well, Ed, after a couple of messages here, oh, just a minute, let's see what we got on the phone for you. I guess we don't have anything on the phone today. After a couple of messages, Ed, I'd like to come back and talk to you a little bit about what you did in Fairbanks for the next 20 years, 30 years, or whatever it might have been, and what other activities you took part in. First of all, I'd like to ask the question, where do the miners sell their gold? And, of course, the answer to that is everyone knows that they sell it to the precious metals people, and that, of course, is Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. Get that number right, folks, 208 Wendell Street. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas. These include sometimes sending gifts of silver. And the folks at Oxford like you to know that the silver Alaska coin and the Oxford Alaska bar are available. And these 1 ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family. And of course, these can be purchased for under $10 each. And I'd also like to point out to the listening audience that Oxford has a nice display of coins and gold nugget jewelry, in addition to a variety of natural nuggets available. And of course, if you have a problem buying that special gift for that someone special, you might want to drop over to Oxford Assaying and Refining and take a look at their supply of nuggets and of course their nuggeted jewelry. If in addition to that you'd like to keep up to date on the prices of gold, platinum, and silver, You might want to also have access to Oxford's Precious Metals quote line, which is 452-7858. And that, by calling that number, you automatically get the price of gold, silver, and platinum each day. The quote line number, once again, is 452-7858. Once again, Oxford Assaying and Refining is located at 208 Wendell Street. If you need information, you might want to give them a call, 456-3967.
Do you like making money? The fair is coming up August 12th through the 20th, and some commercial booth space is still available. Bring your business to the fair. Over 140,000 spectators will be there. If you're serious about making money, call the fair office at 452-3750. But hurry for best selection, and we'll see you at the fair.
Ed, we were talking about the your travels to Fairbanks, Alaska in the ambulance, military ambulance that you had fixed up. Did you fix it some special way to travel over the rough Alaskan highway?
Well, I tried to get some pretty good tires that would take the trip. And I had all the things that I needed for the trip in the truck, so I would be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm. My dad made it up to Alaska, interestingly, in an ambulance, a military ambulance, about that same period of time. I believe it was 1946, 47, right in that area. And the testimony was that they lost a lot of tires along the way. Of course, I guess he didn't start out with very good tires to begin with. So did you have any experiences like that, Ed?
Well, I didn't have any trouble with tires, but I did break a rear spring, and the Canadians were very helpful in getting me going again. So,
but that was the only tragic event you had on the whole trip to Alaska in your ambulance? It's just one broken spring?
Yes, that was the only real trouble that we had.
Well, knock on wood, you got by cheap, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Real good. When did you arrive in Fairbanks, then, what time of year?
We got into Fairbanks May the 3rd, 1947.
May the 3rd, 1947. Yeah. I want to tell the listening audience that we're here with Ed Ashby. If you've got a question regarding early days in Alaska, our phone number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Give us a call. And, Ed, you got here in 1947, and what was Fairbanks like in those days?
Well, it was a little bit rough at that time. There was very little pavement for the streets, and there was one narrow bridge crossing the Chena.
Uh-huh.
So you had to be real careful going across there. When you were meeting a bus in particular.
I see. Did you meet a bus, Ed?
Well, as a general rule, the buses would come right down the middle, straddle the center line. And so you either had to back out or wait for them if you saw them ahead of time.
I see. And what was there? What kind of activity went on in town? Was there? Was it a frontier atmosphere, or? Is it like anything like it was today, or?
Well,
I'm putting you on the spot here, am I?
Well, it was beginning to become civilized, at least. there was a sort of a frontier atmosphere here because mm-hmm. it was way out in the wilderness.
You bet it was. What excited you, and what drew you to Fairbanks? I know that you heard about the plane crash up at Barrow with. Wiley Post, and that aroused your interest, but what really brought you to Alaska? Because it was a frontier?
Well, the reason I came to Fairbanks was, first, was because there was no road into Southeastern, and I wanted to drive, and I had always wanted to come to the interior to see what Fairbanks was like, and just take a look at the gold industry.
Oh, I see. So it was gold, a little gold. They were mining a lot of gold at that time here, weren't they?
Well, no, at that time, gold was pretty slow.
Were they...
The FE company was working. Big companies were working, but I think most of the small outfits had closed down.
Uh-huh. Was that because...
hadn't opened up.
They were closed down before the war, and then they hadn't reopened up following the war yet.
Yes.
Yeah, they were slow to open up. Did they start opening up during your time here? Then?
Well, the price of gold was still pretty low at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so people hesitated to go into the gold mining.
I see. Okay, let's, for a moment here, let's take a break, and we'll be back. We'll ask you a few questions about what you did when you came to Fairbanks, Alaska.
Plaza Cleaners and Laundry in Washington Plaza is your one-stop dry cleaning and laundromat center. Great hours, even no time limit showers. Clean, modern facilities with an experienced staff that can help you with that difficult dry cleaning problem. Plaza Cleaners and Laundry has high extraction washers that use less detergent and save you on drying time. There's a play area for the kids and free coffee for you while you do your laundry. Stop by Plaza Cleaners and Laundry anytime, 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. in Washington Plaza.
Let's talk a little bit about my friends over at Gabe's Truck and Auto. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And that's not just my opinion, folks. The Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raving About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. And you know, folks, with that much attention, you'll get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. And a point that I've made many, many times, and I think I should bring it to your attention again, that Gabe's, I believe, was one of the originators of the no-pass, no-pay policy when it came to an IM inspection. That's right, folks. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. Gabe's has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow as easy as calling 456-6156, and a point that I'd like to make is that you might like to write that number down, 456-6156, in case you have an emergency sometime, a roadside emergency. You might want to have that number at hand for quick service. In addition to that, you never know when that number might be the subject of a quiz on Alaska Gold Trail. Now, folks, you can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156. Ed, when you came to Fairbanks, you say there wasn't the gold mining hadn't resumed yet following the war. What kind of work did you do when you came into the Fairbanks area?
Well, there was quite a bit of work going on at Ladd Field, and so I got a job out there. I was working in the shop as a mechanic, and I was giving a lot of thought to taking advantage of the veterans' benefits for school, and I made up my mind to go back to school. So I went outside, and I went back to South Carolina, and went to the University of South Carolina and did my freshman work. And then I transferred to the University of Alaska here at Fairbanks.
And you got what? You get a bachelor's degree at the University of Alaska or a master's? What?
I got a bachelor's degree.
And what area?
Yeah, well, I majored in biological science, and I had a double minor, history and anthropology.
Oh, I see. And who was the president at that time?
Dr. Moore, Terrace Moore, was the president when I finished in 53.
Uh-huh.
And,
was Bunnell the president when you started?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And, did you ever apply the education that you received at the University of Alaska?
To a job?
Yeah.
Well, only one.
Only one?
Yes.
What would that be?
This was, quite a number of years later. I was in South Carolina, and I took a job with the South Carolina Vocational Rehabilitation Department. And it was my education that I got that job with.
I see. So it played a role in obtaining a job, but
yes.
You never actually used biological sciences in the field or anything of that nature?
Well, no, really I didn't. Not to...
Well, how long were you there at at the one job that you obtained with the degree or the educational background?
I was there 2.5 years.
2.5 years.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And once you finished your degree here at Fairbanks, did you stay in Fairbanks?
Yes, I was here quite a few years. I went into construction.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So you got an education and went into construction.
I bought a little front-end loader tractor, and I dug a lot of basements around
you
here.
You dug a lot of basements. How long were you in business here then?
Well, I don't remember how many years, 8 or 10 years.
Uh-huh.
But I specialized in digging basements under houses that were already built. I dug some basements before the houses were built, but most of them I dug after the houses were built. People that found out that they had to have a basement to keep the house warm, so I would take my little tractor and
that must have been an art to build a basement after the house has been positioned.
Well, at times it gets kind of scary.
I see.
But but if you're careful, you don't get hurt or hurt anybody else.
You must have been careful for 10 years, is that right?
Oh, yes. It pays to be careful.
You bet. Following that period of time, you were 8-9 years in the construction.
Yes.
And that was following your education at the university, is that correct?
Yes.
And then where did you go from there, Ed?
Well, circumstances were such that I had to go back to South Carolina. And this is where I got that other job with South Carolina Vocational Rehabilitation Department.
Then you stayed out there how long?
I was out actually over a period of about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I held on to my cabin here. I had a little cabin in college that I lived in for a long time.
And what year was it when you came back to Alaska?
I came back in 1974.
Mm-hmm. And moved back into your little cabin? Was it still there?
Well, it was burned down at that time.
Uh-oh. Somebody else got there, huh?
Yes. Somebody moved in, and they lived in it a while. And finally, it was burned down. So I had to rebuild it. I saved some of the walls, but everything else was gone. I rebuilt it right on the same spot.
Oh, good. And is it still there now?
No, it's...
It went away, did it?
That spot is underneath where the present post office is.
Oh, okay. I got you. And that was over there on Geist?
Yes.
Off of Geist? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes. Real convenient to the university. And
yeah. Listen to this.
Fairbanks Motors announces the arrival of the all-new 1990 Subaru Legacy. The new Legacy takes the normal Subaru benefits of reliability and superb value to an even greater level with a 130-horsepower engine, four-wheel disc brakes, optional four-wheel drive, and user-oriented technology. The Subaru Legacy is one of the best values in any car today. Test drive your Subaru Legacy today and experience the value and comfort yourself. The Subaru Legacy, only at Fairbanks Motors, 3775 South Cushman.
Well, I'd like to tell the folks, the listening audience, that we're here with Ed Ashby today. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Once again, the number here is 479-TALK. 479-8255. So give us a call if you have a question or you'd like to make a comment on Alaska Gold Trails.
The following message is brought to you by Frontier Financial Services.
Warning, your permanent fund dividend may be in jeopardy. If you are required to send in your birth certificate with your permanent fund application and have not yet done so, you and your children will be denied 1989 and all future dividends. Frontier Financial Services can help you correct this problem. Don't wait. Come to 527 4th Avenue today. That's Frontier Financial Services at 527 4th Avenue.
Ed, tell us a little bit about what you did after you built rebuilt your cabin. What kind of work did you, or what adventures did you take on after returning to Alaska?
Well, Jim, I've always been a freelancer at heart. And people ask me what I freelance, and I say anything that comes along. And at times I would take jobs and work for a season or a month or however long. But I always had in mind that I wanted to give my try at gold mining. So I eventually decided to go over to the Seward Peninsula on a mining venture.
Sounds exciting. Would you got a call here, Ed. Let's see what they have to say. Hi, you're on the air.
Ask Ed if he remembers what we used to call that area down there where he had his house.
Ed, do you have an answer for that?
Other than Guy Strode, I can't remember. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Mean you don't remember being called Vulture Flats?
Oh, yeah. I heard Vulture Flats.
That's when the vulture, all the vultures lived off the university?
Yeah. Yeah, I never did call it that.
Is there some story behind this, boys? Come on, give us the full story here.
It's just the vultures that lived off the university.
I see.
They still live there.
They do.
ask him if he's still got that old Dodge ambulance.
No, I don't have. It got away from me.
Uh-oh.
I was just going to call and tell you I had a lot of parts for one of them.
Well, that'd be good to have, but yeah, I'm sorry the old ambulance got away from me. And that's a long story.
I'll check in with you later.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, my friend. Okay, Ed, tell us about that gold mine. Wait a minute, let's do this.
When you want the best deal, there's just one place to be.
Number one automobile dealer in Fairbanks also sells the number one motorhome in the industry. Fleetwood Jamboree, Rally, and Searcher motorhomes are on display for immediate delivery with financing terms up to 15 years. Come see us for outdoor fun and go with the winner.
The best deal anywhere is right here. I'm thinking
for Lincoln Mercury. Okay, Ed, tell us about that exciting mining experience you had on the Seward Peninsula.
Well, I must say that was a little mistake I made, but it was an experience. And I had to fly everything over to Kotzebue and then fly everything from Kotzebue over to Candle. And I didn't know very much about gold mining, and I shouldn't have been in an operation like this. But anyway, I took everything from the kitchen sink right on down over there with me. And I got involved in several little activities over there, and one was pumping a pond out. And I pumped this pond out, thousands of gallons of water there. It took several days to pump it out. And then I had visions of getting in there with my gold dredge and getting some pay. But it didn't work out that way. And that thing evidently been swept pretty clean by either the drag line that went through there or some other gold dredge, suction dredge had gone in and gotten it. But anyway, I didn't do too well there.
How long did you spend there, Ed?
In Candle?
Yeah.
Well, I was over there for four summers altogether.
Tell us quickly about your canoe trip, the little canoe incident you had.
Well,
we got a minute here.
Yeah. The last spring I was there, before all the ice had gotten out of the river, I needed some drinking water, so I got this fella to carry me out in the stream with his canoe to get a bucket of water. And the balance on the canoe wasn't too good, so I reached over to get my bucket of water and the canoe rolled over. And
precarious situation there, wasn't it, for a minute?
It was. That was cool water and deep. And this fella climbed up on the canoe and I pushed off and I headed for shore. And I'm not sure I should have done that. Anyway, someone had to launch another canoe and come out and help me get out of the water.
Probably saved your life, didn't they?
Well, there's a good chance that I'd have drowned if I hadn't gotten out. But I was struggling.
Ed Ashby, thank you for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails today. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thanks a lot. I enjoyed it.
Folks, this is Jim O'Donnell, Alaska Gold Trails. You're listening to KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial in Fairbanks, Alaska. Join me next week, right here, on Thursday for Alaska Gold Trails.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. The House is still working on a major piece of legislation, the Savings and Loan Bailout Bill, which is going to cost the taxpayers billions. At the Capitol, ABC's Vic Ratner tells us about House debate on the bill.
The president...